In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join Sam Robertson and myself, Emma Stark, as we do a deep dive into a brilliant, amazing, positive, happy, it's time we had some of those, anointing and name that God wants to put into your life. Join us for What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, here in the studio in Glasgow, joined, as ever, by...
Sam Robertson,
brilliant. Now, you know that we record these Pod Squad, loyal listeners, in blocks.
Yeah.
But the eagle-eyed amongst you who have the visuals, who are on... partv.app, where the visuals are uploaded, not just the audio, we noticed that we've moved the table in the room. We literally were halfway through the last episode,
yeah,
and the whole parbleu, the smell of electrical fumes was wafting through the room.
Yes.
And as we sat down to try to restart, the ceiling started to leak and the rain started to fall on top of my microphone.
It did. Drip, drip, drip.
So David tried to open the door to let the electrical fumes out, but the rain was coming in the door sideways. So,
which is a very Scottish thing.
It is. So, I mean, I don't know how many leaks there are in the roof. This is not our building, yeah, and it's beautifully designed inside, but clearly we have a roof issue and probably it's the water in the electrics.
Oh, dear.
So, anyway, we're all safe. Yes, you'd be glad to know.
No one was harmed.
Nobody was harmed, but additional editing
will be required
for the previous episode, which you will by now have heard.
Yes.
So this is our last one for this series block. Not that you should know that because it should be seamless by the time you listen to it.
But we share everything anyway.
We share everything anyway, so why not? Jessica's in the room, my daughter, in her a filming mode, capturing, as all Gen Z do, everything that ever happens.
Literally. Hey. Nothing goes unrecorded.
Oh, it's utterly incredible, isn't it? And we've been giggling a lot in the break. I have a gardener who's helping me. Can we just say, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I am so incompetent. You know when you have a conscious incompetence? It's definitely gardening. Mm-hmm. And she's told me what plant she's bought and planted in my garden. And we were having to Google them.
Yes.
Herchera? H-E-U-C-H-E-R-A.
Herchera?
Herchera? Herchera?
Herchera?
Okay, so the plant botanist experts, the green-fingered amongst you, I apologise profusely for that, but apparently they're red?
Red, yes.
I mean,
native.
To be perfectly honest, they are in my garden, but I didn't know that was their name. She has put four of them in.
They are largely evergreen perennial plants.
Perennial.
I don't know what that means.
You see now, literally, it's just as well we sound intelligent about other things because now we're showing a real gap.
Then
that means they come round every single year.
And they are native to North America and they are very red. So there
excellent.
You go.
Excellent. Love a red plant.
Yes. And they are, you can call them coral bells.
Oh, yeah. Let's not do that. That almost sounds like you're trying to spit.
Or sneeze, yes.
A sneeze, yeah. Yes, true. And then lobelias. I assume they're upright. Anyway, so why do people need to know this at all, Sam?
I don't know. People seem to be very interested about the really little details of our lives.
I'm okay with that. There we go. So yes. I've got some beautiful plants. Let's see what happens. And Jesus, please be kind and not let me accidentally kill them when this is a lovely lady in our church who's helping me out. And she's magnificent. So she has come to my rescue. And actually, do you know what? Even better, she had my boys using the lawnmower mowing yesterday, which is all to the good. Their faces are hilarious about it. But you've got to learn to do these things
Absolutely.
As teenagers.
Yeah,
what did your parents make you do housework and chore-wise when you were younger?
Yeah, house. But my dad loved the garden, so we were always out helping him weeding. That's what we would do. Always doing the weeding.
Yeah, my mother had whole orchestrated rotas.
Oh, literally.
It was quite military.
Oh, my goodness. My dad is out in that garden all the time that he's not at work. I have never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I mean, we were, you're on laundry. And for some reason, there was one job, sock pairing, which seemed to take an inordinate amount of time. Yeah.
But do you know how that's solved? You just wash them in pairs.
No, but they don't get clean.
They do.
No, surely
yes,
not.
Yes, they do. Just wash them in pairs. That's my theory.
No, do you actually do that?
If you wash them in pairs, they get washed.
No, I can't believe that's actually going to get a sock clean.
No, just the top part, the kind of entrance part of the sock, whatever you call that. Do you know? I don't know, what do you call that bit?
I have no idea.
There'll be a name for it.
A cuff? A sock? A cuff? Yeah. Look, you've got Google open in front of you. It's the top of a sock. It's called the... Anyway, this is, I'm sure, adding a lot of wellness into your life.
The welt.
The
I told you there would be a name for it. The welt of a sock is the top. So you just connect them at the welt. And
the
put them
W-E-L-T.
In. Yes, the welt.
Well, we're all educated today.
Literally. That's quite
Maybe
incredible.
Our loyal listeners already all knew that because they're brainy lot.
Yeah,
the welt. Well, yeah, no. But I do remember my mother having a hairy canary because nobody had paired the socks for such a long time. They sat in this massive, you know, plastic box. You know, in a plastic box. And they were there for so long that by the time she got us to get to the bottom of it, there was actually maggots in the bottom of the sock basket.
I forgot that you lived in the countryside.
We did live in the countryside, yeah. Probably damp. The house was damp that I grew up in. Oh, it was probably that. Is that disgusting?
That's just honest. People like the details.
Okay, let's go to the word of the Lord and elevate ourselves out of the
wealth
that of
is
socks.
That is a good way to like force your children to pair socks. If you don't pair your socks, you'll get maggots. That would be, you could use that as a parenting technique now.
My assistant is looking through the glass at what kind of parenting technique is that? But there is always something. You can't have a motorbike because I know somebody who died. Yeah, it has to
always.
Be.
Yes. Always have the dramatic.
There's always Jessica, who's now leaving the room because I don't know why. She always says, you always have a catastrophic story for everything.
You
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, uh-huh. I do. It's a part of being a mother. All right. So, here's the word of the Lord. Yes. We will do better with our... This is where we actually...
This is a good word of the Lord.
This is actually where we do know things.
Yeah,
okay.
This is a good word of the Lord.
So, I think for a long time, in fact, Google is open. Can you just get an actual definition of iconoclast? We've used that word. I'm going to tell you what I think it is. But we've used the word iconoclast, and that is somebody who God raises up in a time to destroy religious structures. It's quite a brutal and weighty anointing where you come in a little bit like a whirling dervish and you are in destroying mode, or let's be politer about it, you are in deconstruction mode.
Yeah.
And you're always agitated by the status quo. You live in perpetual restlessness and you will always find, and I'm deliberately using polemics, you will always speak of the old not working. It's like this permanent sense of no, stop that.
Yeah.
What is our dictionary definition actually
say? The two meanings are a person who attacks or criticizes cherished beliefs or institutions and a destroyer of images used in religious worship.
So destroying images and you come against cherished beliefs.
Or institutions.
Yep.
Raging against.
Yep. Okay. So iconoclasts, which is really where an awful lot of us have felt, how do you love that way? Come on, can we not just... And then, of course, you, in all of that, you lose some of your comfort because sometimes our rhythms in Christian life and our Christian calendar are there to hold us and to comfort us. So iconoclasts are then struggling with that because they do want to break the traditional, because there's a legitimacy to break the traditional, but they also don't want to be too... they want to be embedded in some of our routines that are comforting.
Yeah.
And so the iconoclasts sit in a very awkward place between the embedded into something that nurtures and grows you, but also wanting to take a good swipe at that which is perceiving or is perceived to be dangerous, yeah. even though it's loved.
Yeah, and I would say from probably around 2010, particularly in the British Isles, mm-hmm. there was a massive move of that in terms of churches that were pro the spirit and wanting very much more to break from religious institutions or denominations, yep. structures. We saw that in the UK quite strongly since around then. But actually, it is an uncomfortable place because you're raging against, you know, the institutions and yep. cherished things out there, but you're also always raging against it inside of yourself.
Own being.
And so there's this sense of getting yeah. used to being in the ruins, both internally and around, yeah. of things that are being destroyed or torn down, in the words of Jeremiah.
Yeah. So the Lord then said this to me. He said, I want you to stand in the ruins of yesterday's compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I now want to give into the earth a brave new anointing and a brave new strategy. And he said, you have called yourself iconoclasts, or versions of it. He said, but I want to give you a name from Isaiah 58. Now, this is brilliantly good news. So I'm going to read to you Isaiah 58, verse 12. Your people, that's you lot listening and watching, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the breach, restorer of homes.
Mm.
And this suddenly is like pulsating through my being because you can feel the brilliance of this new mantle coming to reside on us. This special work where you're not just this whirling dervish of destruction or that doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work for the nth time. But you're in this place of God saying an energetic force from my spirit to recover is going to come upon you, and you will restore the way it was meant to be. The right conditions to build the new / ancient ruins are now in the midst of you. This is not the recovery of the temporal.
Yeah.
This is not the recovery of political prosperity. This is the deep, deep work, the digging work of recovering of truth and boundaries. This is not what your parents had. This is a much deeper kingdom understanding where the Lord says, you now have to repair and you now have to restore, but you have to be comfortable that the previous epoch of time of people I had to release have created ruins, and you are removing that, and you're not building on foundations of my forefathers of 50, even 100, even of 150 years. You are going to have to push into the deep ancient ruins.
Yeah, absolutely. And the word ancient there implies that you're not restoring something that you're familiar with.
Yes.
You're not restoring or rebuilding that which you have had an experience of. It's so ancient that it will actually feel completely new to you, like it never existed before. It's
yes.
so before, so in ancient times, and long lost, in fact, that actually when it starts to be rebuilt, it will feel like it is totally new. And look, none of us like the sense of ruins and wastelands. You know, some of them says yeah. you will stand in the waste places and you will build in the waste yeah. places, the ruins. But we understand why God had to raise up a generation of iconoclasts, those who destroyed, because only once you stand in ruins can yeah. he actually say to you, now build, now restore, now rebuild.
Yes, it's almost impossible to build a brick here and yeah, a brick there where the architects are disagreeing about
yeah.
what that shape what should be,
yeah.
which you can kind of understand why some things have not worked when you try to coalesce together.
Yeah.
This co-joint place was almost impossible. And I think that's why you do get in Nehemiah's wall imagery in scripture, very definite, this is your part to build, this is my part to build. And some of you get the portcullis at the gate, and others of you get the, you know, the toilets that are, yeah, you know, where there's excretions out the side of the city, you know, yeah, from yeah, the walls into a rubbish dump. So you do have to shape things according to the portion of the wall that yeah, you've got to build. And so you're right in Paul's Romans 15 concept, Romans 15 verse 2, I'm glad I did not build on someone else's foundations. Fascinating. It's fascinating.
Yes.
I'm glad I did not build so that I, or let me quote it to you, it's Romans 15 verse 2, so that I would not build on someone else's foundations. And the sense of, oh, we are very odd in our definitions of what unity is, because we think unity must mean same place, same time, same way, same structure, same blue. Oh, no. That actually the sense of my portion, your portion, I'm going to yeah, bear your burdens, you're going to bear my burdens. But actually, I've got different bricks to put in different places. Come and on. Nehemiah unpacks that for us, I think, in a more helpful way of my portion on the wall. But the sense that my bricks are creating a pattern, that they will have touch points with others, otherwise you're completely isolated. But actually now I'm being called to fix things, and we're moving. You need to hear this. You're being moved from being an outsider, a stone thrower, worthy of rejection, to one who goes and repairs the breach, restores the streets. This is not bridge building. This is restoring to God and restoring for God some of his deep ways. I actually think you're going to make some enemies.
Yeah. Oh, it will make enemies. It will.
But it will gain the inheritance that God wants on the yeah, earth.
Yeah, I think this is actually quite challenging, because in the previous seasons, we had to know what was not working to rage against it, you know, for yes, there to be a tearing down.
Yeah.
But now God's saying, no, you actually need to know what will work in my kingdom. You actually need to have solutions. You
yes,
actually now need to know. And we've talked for years about, you know, I'd rather be an amateur in the new than the expert in the old. Yeah. And that was right. And I think when you're raging against the old for there to be destruction, you need that. But yeah, now God's saying to us, actually, as rebuilders, you now need to know some things. You now yeah, need to see some structures that are in the kingdom of God, mm-hmm, that are in the spirit realm, that you are meant to partner with mm-hmm, me to build.
The whole sense then comes to me of where scripture talks about you go from one degree of glory to another. Mm. And the sense of the two in between the glories. Yeah. And perhaps we've been more there than we ever like to admit, because whoever wants to say this is just a destroying season, I'm just in this kind of
season.
Who wants to say I'm in the two? Who wants to yeah, say they didn't yet have a repairer or a building mantle? I mean, nobody actually really wants to think that, because in other words, that's saying I'm lacking something right now. I'm lacking a fixing ability. And the reality of it is we have been lacking a fixing ability to restore the ancient and ways, to be yeah, the repairer of the breach. And the repairer of the breach is not about man to man, but it's about man to God and God's original
yes,
design, repairing the foundations that yeah, connect men and God yeah, and repairing God's way of yeah, doing things in the yeah, earth. Yeah.
Because what has come to waste, what has been now become a ruin, mm-hmm, what has been raged against are the structures that separate man and God, the institutions, yes, the religious images that yes, have created separation between God and man. Mm-hmm. And so now the breach is the repairing of the togetherness and the union of God and man.
I find a couple of phrases useful in my own meditation. The life in front of you, I mean, you could write this one on a greeting card, so give me grace here. Uh-huh. The life in front of you is far more important than the life behind you. And I sort of love where that's pushed me in my mind yeah, around this stuff, that what I have yet to do and what my hands are to produce under the auspices and the anointing of God is greater and more important, more significant than the life behind. Now, you're totally in scriptures of the glory of the latter right. house will be greater than the former house in that kind of concept. But it gives me the ability, if the life in front of me is far more important than the life behind me, there is a sense of I can more easily let some things I had to be and some things I had to say go. Oh,
yeah,
I can let that go. I don't need to bear the burden of what was required from me yesterday. There's a new thing that I can pick up. That's very, very liberating.
Yeah, wow.
And I felt also the phrase loss and certainty.
Mm.
The parallel train tracks of that, that I can say goodbye to something and I can understand the loss of that, but I can also stand in the certainty of building the new. That's a great skill set to coexist. And really that is, I think, the fullness of glory to glory.
Yeah.
I hope my father doesn't mind if I share this illustration. My father obviously has got married. That's glory. In every day of the week, that's glory. And he and his new wife, that's a super sweet thing. We hope that for everybody that they find that companionship and yeah. tenderness and affection and love in their latter years, getting married at 75
yeah.
after a long period of being on your own. That's definitely glory. But he was living with me and he was integrated into something with us. And that was also glory. And so his moving and his promotion is glory. He's going glory. We're all going from glory to glory. But in that, there is a goodbye.
Uh-huh.
And the sense of the loss of yesterday's glory, yeah. where I felt fully empowered to be an iconoclast. We did, us all, understanding the commentary on what was wrong. But that ability then to say, I don't grieve. This is not just a funereal sense of 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We do not grieve like the rest of the world who are without hope. I don't have to grieve for the glory of yesterday without a hope, that I'm able to coexist in the loss and the certainty and then to fully own the glory of being a repairer of the breach. And I think that's where we are, people, together.
Mm. And it is glory, which means you're having to say goodbye to a previous form of yourself.
Yes.
And to be okay in that loss.
Yes.
But I do feel like this is a glorious word. I love this word. But I think we have been so in the iconoclast zone for quite some time.
Years.
That this feels so new that it's almost quite frightening, because now we need yeah. to know what to do.
It's going to demand
different thoughts of leadership, different proactivity, ideas that we're not used to having, initiative that isn't maybe instinctive to us because mm-hmm. we've been in the tearing mm-hmm. down phase of, yes. of the seasons of God. Actually, now what God's asking of us is so totally different that it will feel like we're taking on a new job, a new role that we don't have a lot of previous experience in.
I think that's right.
exciting, mm-hmm. but it's also slightly terrifying as well.
It is, and this sense of the Lord saying, glory to glory is obviously more yeah. biblical, but the feeling will be I'm being reinvented.
Yes, I think so.
Like I'm starting the beginning of the year yeah. afresh.
Yeah.
All of that, the freshness of this epoch, and I actually think we're going to feel more alert, more alive, less tired, because we are shifting through an effectual door.
Yeah.
And I think we are back to those times. And we preach this scripture at every point, you know, in Corinthians, when Paul says, an effectual door has opened to me, or this door for greater fruitfulness. And at it, there is much opposition. And so I actually don't know that the opposition is the demonic. I think the opposition is the internal sense of I got so used to this role
yeah, yeah, yeah.
that I'm actually opposed by my own internal dynamics
yeah.
where I'm not able to speak a new call and accept a new call over myself because I've so set myself. Yeah. And for some, can I say, I saw the iconoclast done so badly with so much anger and rage and resentment and pain
bitterness,
and bitterness yeah. and people came into iconoclastic behavior because they actually didn't navigate their relationships well, yeah. rather than coming into, and they were modeling what they were seeing somebody else do, rather than being an iconoclast out of wholeness. Yeah. So for them, there is a sense of, come on, yeah, you're going to yeah. get, you're going to have to get well.
Come on.
To be able to go through this door into the repairer and the restorer of the breach.
Wow.
Big days.
Big days.
Very significant days.
Good.
And now needing to yield yeah. to a new responsibility on your shoulders. And if you have despair from the previous season and you're not a great manager of change and you still got a latent disappointment, you know that the enemy can recharge yeah. that, you know, and make that latent disappointment into a potential assignment against you. You're going to have to sit and deal with that yeah. to be able to hold the space yeah. of being called repairer of the breach. Yeah.
I think as well, just what I'm feeling in the atmosphere around this and sensing God say is that you have to pray, God, you need to strip me of who I needed to be then.
Very good.
But not who I needed to be, need to be now.
Very good.
Otherwise, you'll feel useless.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think there are a lot of people right now who are wrestling with, I feel like I don't have a purpose. I feel like I'm useless. I feel like I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And that is because you are still wearing what was required of you last season
yeah.
and for the last even decade.
Yes.
And now you have to dispense of that portion of your life and receive a new form and receive a new version of yourself. And if you don't dispense of that, you will feel useless when God turns up to you and says, now you need to rebuild.
Because in some senses, the anointings that we're moving from and to are actually clashing anointings.
Yeah, they almost oppose
yes.
In many ways.
Like magnets that repel.
Absolutely.
And I don't want you to feel split.
Absolutely.
On your inside. We don't need any dissociation. Yeah. Which hat do I wear? Which person am I now? Part of the growing into the portion of maturity. My prophetic instinct is saying to me that in this, if you haven't moved house and you know that that is part of the call of God, we're probably coming to the grace place where there's a wind to do that again. And you and I know, Sam, we actually talk about this quite often, is that there are graces for certain things. There's space from the heart of the Father to do things in certain times. And if you miss the time,
you have to wait.
You really have to wait till it comes round again. Moving house and relocating or changing job or laying something down or picking something up, however that best applies to you, loyal listeners. Out of season, those are very, very difficult things to do. But you actually want to move when there is wind and grace and ease in that. And I do think that we're going to hit by the end of this year. I've suddenly forgotten what year it is.
2024.
I don't know plants and dates, but I know the movements of the spirit.
The spirit of God.
Yes, we are about to move into that grace again. So there's a clapping my hands, kind of like time. So we bless you with this revelation for today. I've literally just finished the last slurp of coffee from my cup, and that is a sign that we are waving goodbye to you and thank you a lot. I think some of these podcasts with what the prophets say here from our headquarters in Glasgow, the headquarters of the Global Prophetic Alliance, I think they need to be listened to in groups and multiple times. And, you know, we have spent hours curating each one, pages and pages of notes. And I don't think these revelations are light and they need to be sat in. So Pod Squad, loyal listeners, whichever is your favorite way I name you, and to the class behind the glass, and thank you. As all my staff are starting to appear, they're eating Pecora lunch with me.
They've all turned up.
They're waving through the glass. We're waving back to them. Well, loyal listeners, we'll see you for another episode of What the Prophets Say very soon. Bye. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.